Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and blessed to be with you this morning and to have a do-over. Thanking God for the do-over today because he woke me up. He woke you up. He gave us a do-over. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure because our dad, God, loved us enough to wake us up this morning and give us a do-over. And as we get ready to go through the day, just want to tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for giving me another day to be your daughter, to know that I'm blessed beyond measure because you love me and you care about me. And you want the best for me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. As the song says, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. I thank God for the chastisement. I thank God for the hugs and the love. I thank God for everything. Because he didn't have to wake me up this morning. He didn't have to wake you up this morning. He didn't have to give you another day, but he did. And all we can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the do-over. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning thanking you for another opportunity to be better today than I was yesterday. To remember the fruit of the Spirit, to know that I am your daughter. And as your daughter, I do unto others as they do unto me, but forgive. I let go of offense instead of going into defense to do what I know is not right. Father God, I lift up this world that you have given us, this beautiful planet that you have given us that is rebelling against us because we haven't treated it well. Earthquakes. Now volcano eruption, hurricanes, all the things, this horrible plague that we call the coronavirus. You're trying to get our attention. Well, Lord, you have mine. And I ask you, Father God, to please forgive me of my sins. And I ask forgiveness for those that have sinned against your word, against the majesty, Father God. I pray, prayer of salvation, that you forgive us, oh God, as we repent. Repentance is good for the soul, the mind, and the spirit. Father God, I repent for any sins I may have committed in thought, word, or deed, sins known and unknown. I ask you to please forgive me, Father God. As I get ready to read your word, Lord God, I ask you to clean me up with hyssop, that my mind, my spirit will be just snow and a blank slate to be used by you. Father God, I ask you to decrease me as you increase. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, and it will be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For you, Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my redeemer. I give myself away, Father, for you to use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within each and every one of us. I pray God's grace over each and every one of you, those that listen now and those that listen later. For the word of God is too important. We must read it. We must study it. We must meditate on it day and night. But this is what will save us. When you know the word, you can follow the word and do what thus says the Lord. And I say this, book of Isaiah is no joke. It is nothing to play with. I'm telling you, you think the prophet was living in our day. You think he was right here with us. Some of the things that he says in this word is like, whoa, that was going on back then. Because it sure is going on right now. The names have been changed to protect the guilty. And maybe the city's changed and the name of the location has changed, but the word is still true. And I tell you, it is no joke at all. God's word is true. It was true then, and it's true now. And we need to meditate on it to get an understanding of it. Because the enemy, again, was busy then, and the enemy is busy now. And we are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God, that he keeps us covered under his mighty blood. So let's get into our word this morning. We are coming out of Isaiah chapter 33 through Isaiah chapter 34, verse 17. We are coming out of Psalms 109. Verses 1 through 5, Proverbs 25, verses 25 through 26, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's get started. We are on schedule. Today is the 21st of September, and our word is the 21st of September. And the word of God, spoken by the prophet Isaiah, says this: woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though you have not been dealt treacherously with you. They have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. Understand, there are folks out there doing some low-down dirty stuff all over this country. You know, getting people evicted out of their homes because of gentrification. Removing children out of schools because their parents don't agree with your child's history. You know, we got to get out of our foolishness, because history unknown is history repeated. We don't want to wind up like some countries that no longer exist because they were a treacherous, vicious, vile country who did dirt to people. That's not who we were, and that's not who we should be. Stay in America, yes, I love my country. I would never want to live anywhere else. But we know we have done some treacherous stuff. We have plundered and done some awful things, annihilated a whole group of people practically from a nation of Native Americans who were here way before any Christopher Columbus ever got lost. And they're down to hardly not, I don't even know if 2 million Native Americans anymore in this nation, because they were murdered, killed, taken from their land, sent to a land they didn't know. Does that sound familiar? How many of this nation were enslaved? taken from their land, put in a nation they didn't know, with people that spoke a language they had never heard. And it, they had to learn. They had to adjust. They had to be strong for 400 years. Familiar story. Different actors. We got to understand. History repeats. We've got to pray that we don't wind up in an ocean. Again, America has volcanoes. America has fault lines. America has been hit from the east to the west with hurricanes. God is trying to get our attention. Let's not forget the tornadoes hitting everywhere. And this awful plague that has now surpassed the 1918 Spanish flu. Over 675,000 Americans have died. Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. Oh, Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you, but our arm every morning, be their arm every morning. Our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourself up, the nation shall be scattered, and your plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of locusts. He shall run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. I'm going to read that again. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Surely their valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveling man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the city. He regards no man. The earth mourns and languishes. Lebanon is shamed and shivered. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth the stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you, and the people shall be like the burning of lime, like thorns cut up. They shall be burned in the fire. Hear you who are far off what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. Sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the grain of oppression, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe? Where is he who weighs? Where is he who counts the towers? You will not see a fierce people, a people of obscure speech beyond perception, of a stammering tongue that you cannot understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be taken down. Not one of its stakes ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. But there the majestic Lord will be for us, a place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley with oars will sail, nor majestic ships pass by. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. That's the title of our lesson today. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our king, and he will save us is our title today. God is in charge of everything. Our Savior will be there for us. Your tackle is loose. They shall not strengthen their masts. They could not spread the sail. Then the prey of great plunder is divided. The lamb take the prey. The lame take the prey. And the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. Praise be to God who forgives us our iniquity, who allows us to be his children. We got to have forgiveness in our heart. We got to have a peace that surpasses all understanding, which comes from salvation, which comes from the Lord God. We are his children. We need God to make us over in his image, to be better than we were. Thanking God every day that you wake up, that he has given you a do-over. Let the day be better than yesterday. Make whatever you do be done unto the Lord. Give God the glory, the honor, and the praise that he is due. Chapter 34 of the book of Isaiah. Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to the slaughter. Also their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down on Edom and on the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has sacrificed in Bozrah, great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its streams shall be turned into pit, and its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. Also the owl and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. And the thorn shall come up in its palaces, nettles and brambles in its fortresses. It shall be an habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall belt to its companion. Also the night creature shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There the arrow snakes shall make her nest and lay eggs and hatch and gather them under her shadow. There also shall the hawks be gathered, every one with her mate. Search from the book of the Lord and read. Not one of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. for my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast a lot for them, and his hand has divided it among them with a measuring line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they shall dwell in it. Wow. Not lovey-dovey. Not sweet and cozy. It is a no-joking manner. And some life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley for this word this morning. For those that are just joining this Moving Forward experience, we are a Bible study, and we read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. That was my assignment, is to read the Word of God in 1 year. And so far, we are on track to read the Word of God in a year. My assignment, to read to you the Word of God in 1 year, for you to read with me the Word of God in 1 year. And I recommend highly the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And when I say life lessons, life examples, what the Bible says, life questions, coming from Dr. Stanley. And so the first is this life lesson from chapter 33 of the book of Isaiah, verse number 2. But their arm, be their arm every morning. When you first get out of bed in the morning, where do your thoughts run? Not everyone does devotions in the morning, but every one of us can and should begin our day with a grateful acknowledgement of God's presence. We are doing daily devotion every day. Except for Saturday, we do it on our own. Saturday's word is read on Friday and Sunday, but we do it on our own. So you still get the word in that you would normally get on Saturday. I do it on Friday, and I do it on Sunday. The word still goes forth. But on Saturday, when we're not doing our daily devotion here and reading the Word of God here, pick up your word and read it. It is important that you meditate on God's word every day. Give God your best. When you wake up, just tell him. If you can't remember to do nothing, but say, Lord, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed that you woke me up and gave me a do-over. If you say that every morning, you're letting God, you're acknowledging that God gave you an opportunity for a new day. Did he have to? Absolutely not. Did he have to wake us up this morning? No, he did not. Did he have to give us another opportunity and another chance? No, he did not. But he did. Why? Because he loves us. We are his children, and we are special to him. And let's get into our next life lesson. And we're going to go over also to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 10. And we may look around that because we are a get-it-in-context kind of folk. So we'll go probably to verse number 9 too. And this is from our word for the day. The Lord is our King. He will save us. And it says, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawmaker, lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us. It says, God is our judge. He will give us what we deserve. He is our lawgiver. He instructs us how to live, and he is our King. He rules over all. How amazing that he is also our Savior. And when we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 9, it says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we all well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. And we got to stand before the judgment seat, each one of us, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our king. He will save us. He's a lawgiver. When we do what thus says the Lord, everything else falls into place. God did not tell us because we became Christians that our life would be easy. He did not say that. He didn't tell us that. But we are blessed beyond measure because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And he loves us like that. And as we continue in this life lesson for chapter 34, verse 4 says, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. Peter saw this same staggering event and asked, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in the holy conduct and godliness? And we're going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, but we're going to go to verse 10 and verse up to verse 13. So starting at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. And the title of this section, because you know I love the Bible, it gives us a section. And it says, the day of the Lord. And it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Wow. That's a word. That's a word. And it's something to think about. As they say, a dilemma. Something to think about. And as we get into our Psalms word this morning, we are in Psalms 109, verses 1 through 5. And it says this, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus they rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. And I know many of us have been in that position where we have been nothing but kind to some folks. And then they turn around and do you in. Talk about your lie on you. Try to mess up your life. But God. But God. When you give them to God, you forgive and you let it go. Like I said, when I watched The Shack, and I am going to go back and read the book now, because I'm a book reader. I love books more than I like watching television. But I'll tell you this, one thing I know without any doubt in my mind, that we got to forgive even those that have done us wrong. As it says, do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for love. How many pastors and teachers and ministers and apostles and folks that have done nothing but the will of God come up against these folks? Wicked to the core. Deceitful liars. Talk about you like a dog but smile in your face. smiling faces tell lies. They don't tell the truth. Beware of the pat on the back. It just may hold you back. And it is more true than it was back then when Edward Starr wrote that song. Folks, I always, yeah, be careful. How you doing? I can't stand Minister Bridget. She thinks she this, that, and the other. You know, da-da-da. Talk about you like a dog. Oh, how you doing, my sister? I can't stand her. Hey, brother man, how you doing? How's your family? How's everybody? I can't stand him. He gets on my nerves. I was acting so sanctimonious. Folks, well, you know, I think him and sister such and such was messing around. Did you see? I don't know. I ain't trying to gossip or nothing, but, you know, I think they was having something going on because they sure used to be at the church all the time. With the, got to meet here, got to meet there. Low down dirty talking about folks. We see it every day. Sometimes folks are taking it to us, and that's when you got to shut that mess down. I don't know if that is true, and I'm not going to repeat it. So I don't really want to hear that. You got to tell them. I don't want to hear that. They make all this stuff, then they'll talk about you. I'm trying to act like all holy and stuff. Now, you know she used to be out there kicking it with us, too. And remember when she I remember when she was doing this and when she was doing that. Girl, yeah, I remember when she had that baby. And then, and you know, girl, I think he was a married man. I know. You don't know nothing. You know, folks talk all the time, talking about everything and everybody instead of doing self-evaluating. Everything the Word of God tells us, you can, all you have to do is close your eyes and you can picture and see everything it says. We are not in joking times. We are not in ha-ha times. We are not in bite-begging times. We need to be forgiven. We need to be asking God to forgive us. We need to be repenting. We need to be asking God, Lord, I am so sorry. Please forgive me for all the mess I have caused in my life. If I am, Lord, forgive me for speaking badly of Sister Such and Such and for talking about Sister Susie. And, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for looking down on Boo Boo and them down the street. For, Lord, I know that those kids got some issues, and I know that it's some problems going on in their home. Forgive me, Lord, for having a judging spirit, because only you can judge. We got to start speaking those things and asking God to forgive us, because, you know, we can, Christians can have some wicked tongue. Somebody sharper than any sword cut a person in half just with a look, just with a stare, just with a mouth. We need to keep our tongues behind our teeth. Because folks get run out of church every day because there's a Sister Susie standing at the door looking at them like they're garbage trying to come into their beautiful palace. We got to stop it. We want everybody to be saved. We want the good to be saved, the bad to be saved, and the ugly to be saved. Because salvation is our goal, and we need to talk about Jesus. I was just in a grocery store the other day, and because my license plate has faith on it, because I drove it off the lot in faith that God would give me the money to pay my car payment every month. And I can honestly say he has done so, thanking God, because he knew I didn't get the car that was an SUV. I didn't get it, you know, to be styling and profiling. I did it so I can pick up more of my kids for choir rehearsal, you know, pick up those that need a ride to church and have enough room for everybody. So God gave me what I needed for his work, not for anything else. Because when I had the luxury cars, and I had all of them, God took everyone away. Because sometimes we can get caught up in our stuff and not be caught up in God. So I thank God for the do-over. I thank God for the faith that I ride on. every day who he is and what he has done. That some of the things hope for and the evidence is not seen. I thank God for faith. But she saw my license plate. And she came up and said, asked me, where did I go to church? And that she was looking for a church home. But she saw my car and wanted to talk to me about God and finding a church. And I invited her to church. I even had, you know, God to give you a piece of paper, even when you need it, because you're like, oh, shoot, I don't have my notepad in my purse. But he gives you a piece of paper. I found a piece of paper and was able to write it all down and invite her to my church. I'm praying that she comes. Because you will find love, peace, and joy at the table. And also good food, because we feed you too. We feed the body, we feed the soul, and we feed the mind. We feed all, every part of you with the love of God. And I just say, you don't know who's watching you. And how do you carry yourself? How do you act when you're not in church? Somebody's watching. Are you that liar? Are you that deceitful mouth? Or are you a loving, fruit of the Spirit kind of man or woman? And as we get into the rest of our lesson, Proverbs 25:25-26 says, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country for the wicked. And it's a life lesson from our psalm word this morning. Psalm 109:4, in return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. When someone betrays us or turns against us, God instructs us not to seek revenge, but to seek his face in prayer. He knows how to best deal with the situation, and we need to hear from him. Can the church say amen? In like a murky spring and a polluted well. You know, we got to understand God is good. And let me go back to Proverbs 25:25-26. And it says, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man who falls before the wicked is like a murky spring and a polluted well. And our last word for this morning is our New Testament word, is 2 Corinthians 12. And it says that it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. I will speak the truth, but I will refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears me, or hears from me. At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan who buffeted me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended. by you. For in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, though I am nothing. Truly, the signs apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the least I am loved. But be that as it may, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you by cunning. Did I take advantage of you by any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus and sent our brother with him, but did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whispering, conceit, tumult. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanliness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Wow. Paul tells us too, God forgive. We got to repent. Because he says, and we know everything he says, I wish that I should be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whispering, conceits, tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanliness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. And this is some life lessons from Paul and from Dr. Stanley. This says, 2 Corinthians 12 and 14, I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. I'll live the way he did as a reflection of how God worked in his own life. Paul didn't want the material resources of his friends. He wanted them just so God doesn't want our stuff. He wants us. Because let's call it strength, family. You can't take any of this stuff with you. When you die, somebody's got to clean up your mess. When you are gone, somebody has to come in, take all your junk to Goodwill, Salvation Army, or whatever. All your stuff can't go with you. You came into this world naked as a jaybird, and you're going to leave this world naked as a jaybird. Because once you get into the ground, all that material that's on your body is going to dissolve. And you're going to go the same way you came, back to dust. You know, understand, we can't take nothing with us. So all the material stuff means absolutely nothing. You can't take that luxury car with you. You can't take that house on the hill with you. You can't take all the clothes and all the stuff. All these folks in the, as they call them, the one percenters, they can't take nothing with them. The diamonds, they can't take the 5 and 6 and 7 houses. They can't take the yachts and the cars and the boats and everything else. They can't take any of that stuff with them. Can't take their stock portfolio with them. But the only thing we can take with us is this soul that's inside of us that God gave us. How is your soul? It's a question we all, how is my soul? Lord, I ask you to forgive me. We got to repent. if we allow the world to get in, we got to repent. Father, forgive me for being this materialistic or for thinking only of myself and not of others. God is watching everything we do, everything. How do you treat your fellow man? 2 Corinthians 12:21, I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented. If God's word condemns some practice, it's wrong, regardless of how we may feel about it. It is a serious thing to sin against the Lord, know it, and not repent of it. Unrepentant sin always brings the discipline of God. Unrepentant sin brings the discipline of God. And we know as children, when you did not tell your parents, they already know what you did. And when you try to lie, that's when you're going to get your behind toe up. You don't lie to your mom and dad. Because I'm telling you, they ask you a question, they already know the answer. That's just like folks that get arrested and the police ask them questions and then they're going to try to lie their way out of it. Don't you understand when they ask you that question, they already know the answer. As they said in, what was it, Friday, you don't have to lie. You don't have to lie. Tell the truth. Shame that devil. And repent. And this is the question that Dr. Stanley asks us from 2 Corinthians 12:9. And it says this, not what value could there possibly be in weakness? None of us can escape the pressure of life. Most of us know what it feels like to be disappointed. We know the painfulness of embarrassment, the sting of rejection, and the sorrow of failure. There always comes a time when the lids come boiling off the pots and pans and crash to the floor. What pots are boiling out of control in your life? Is there a financial need? Maybe you face a relationship crisis and are urgently praying for God's wisdom. Regardless of your situation, you can trust this principle. Whatever brings you to your knees in weakness carries the greatest potential for your personal success and spiritual victory. Even though Paul could have listed many personal accomplishments, he chose to tell his audience what he saw as the key to experiencing a victorious life, accepting his weakness so that the strength of Christ might live fully in him. I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. We do not know the trial that Paul faced. He called it a thorn in the flesh. And that was in verse 7. In the Greek, the word thorn means a stake used for torturing or impaling someone. No gentle affliction. He writes that it has buffered him, indicating that the trial was either ongoing or reoccurring. When Paul felt he could no longer withstand the blows, God reassured him that his grace was sufficient for anything he faced. Strength that withstands the stresses and blows of this life come from only one source, the eternal indwelling presence of God. What the world views as strong is really nothing more than weakness under wraps. In the church, say amen. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. When we accept our weaknesses and the fact that we cannot handle life on our own, God goes to work. He sends encouragement and a sense of creativity, helping us to try new adventures that lead to hope and fresh beginnings. Are you weary from trying? Has exhaustion left its mark? Are you afraid others will see your weaknesses and laugh? Could a thorn in your life expose your deepest fear? Let it go. Release your fears to Jesus, who loves you. Let him strengthen you. Nothing compares to the freedom that waits for you within his loving arms. Nothing will ever bring more completion to the heart and soul than knowing the unconditional love of God. It is yours today if you choose it. And that is our word for this morning. And just a reminder, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. But we got to let go and let God have his way. Not about me, not about you, all about Jesus. Thank you so much for listening in this morning, family. Boys, before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. If there's anyone that God has given a word to regarding this lesson this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone or push on your social media. You can call also 213-943-3597. Again, 213-943-3597. You can call in or you can listen in on social media, whatever is your preference. But the word of God goes forth here Sunday through Friday, God willing. And the word for Sister Carolyn this morning is this: good morning. Things have a way of working out. Never hour of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday. Right on point with our lesson this morning. I thank God for my sister in Christ and the fact that she loves God and listens to his voice. And I thank God for everything. I pray the prayer of salvation over you all, asking God to forgive you, asking God to wrap you in his arms with the love of our Savior Christ Jesus. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. Let the church say God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. For God is our absolute. He is the judge. He is the lawgiver. He is our savior. He is our absolute. He is. And more than we could ever be. He is God. He loves us. Lord, lawgiver and king, he will save us. Thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you, God, for his son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's cross for me. For he is my Lord and Savior, and I love him, and I thank him for his love toward me. Have a blessed day, family. Remember, keep God first. Study this word day and night. Pray and pray some more. As Sister Carolyn tells us, we got to push. We got to pray until something happens, because we know that when you pray a righteous prayer, God hears you. Don't worry about no how. Thank God for what you do. And when you need a downside, start getting that stuff together. And don't be like me. Start getting it together and forget, and don't come back and finish the job. We got to finish the job and do what we have to do for God. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Bye. It's time to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Take it with you wherever you go today. Keep that smile on your face, knowing that God knows your heart. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap.